How many of you remember the first place you ever lived? Several of you? When my wife and I first got married, we moved into an apartment, and the apartment was above someone's house. It was three rooms and a bathroom, and most of the rooms I could sit in the chair and prop my feet against the wall across from them. That's how close they were. It was so small, we didn't have a laundromat or a washer and dryer, so we had to go to the laundromat. Do you remember laundromats? I mean, is that still a thing even? So my wife, we would, kind of build up several days of laundry, and then Saturday would come, and she would go off to the laundromat and do the laundry and bring it back. First time she came back from the laundromat, she said to me, she said, "Listen, if you don't turn your clothes right side round, I'm not going to wash them." You know how it is, you take your shirt off sometimes and the sleeve catches on your thumb or something, you pull it and it's inside out. I said, okay, right? So a couple of days go by and we pile up the laundry. She packs it into the car and off she goes and she comes back. The next day comes and I look in my drawer and there are some things missing. And I said to her, "I'm sure I put these in the dirty clothes." She said, "Yeah, I know, but you didn't turn them right side round, so I didn't wash them." I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Yeah, if you don't turn them right side round, I'm not going to wash your clothes." I heard her, but I wasn't listening to her. So next week, what happens? I carefully undid my shirts and put them in the laundry for her to do. Because she said, "If you don't turn them right side round, I'm not going to do your laundry." So after hearing, I began to listen, and things began to change in my personal grooming habits. Sometimes that happens with God, doesn't it? We hear something, but are we really listening to what God is saying? If you open your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm hopeful that as we go through this passage, that we will discover three ways to listen to God. Three ways that will help us so that we aren't just hearing it, but that we're listening to do. That we're listening to make the change, to make the adjustment, to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. Now remember, Samuel is the one that Hannah prayed for. Remember, she prayed so intensely that they thought she was drunk, something was wrong with her. But it was her prayer, her burden being poured out to God, and God heard her prayer and gave her Samuel. And if you notice in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says that Samuel is about to embark on something. This passage of Samuel's life is during a period in history where Israel is experiencing all kinds of conflict. And people are wondering, is God even watching? Does God even care? But in reality, they aren't listening to God. In reality, they are hearing but not listening to obey and to do what it is that God wants. So this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find three ways to listen to God. The first way to listen to God is recognize who is speaking. Recognize who is speaking. Now the young man Samuel, verse 1 of chapter 3, was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down again. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down." Samuel seems to be sleeping in the temple. Samuel is awakened by this sound, this voice, and he runs to Eli because who else is around? So he assumes that it's Eli, and Eli says to him, "It's not me. Go back to bed." Now look what happens in verse 7 of chapter 3. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Eli is correct. He's discerning the voice of God. He's discerning that it is the Lord that is speaking. And he says to Samuel, he says, "Okay, the next time you hear this voice, say, speak." It's almost a command. You know, I want to hear it so much so that I want you to speak. And Eli uses the word here. He uses all caps. Do you see that? The Lord, all caps, designates God's specific name of Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God. This is the covenant-keeping God, the one that we have invested everything in our lives to submit to. He's going to speak, and you want to hear his words. Recognize this morning that God has something to say to you. One of the admonitions that I was given when I first thought about ministry was, this is all you need to know. You need to know God has spoken, and then decide what it is he's saying. God has spoken. God has something for each person in this room today. The effort that it took to get out of bed and to be in this place was well worth it, because God has a word for you this morning. Every person, God has something for you. The problem, however, is that we don't always recognize that voice. So recognizing the voice is part of the problem. The voice recognition comes through relationship. And Samuel is very young in his relationship with God. And so he's trying to gain some understanding of this, and Eli is there to guide him. Developing this relationship with God takes trust, right? In order to have a relationship, it begins with trust. We believe, we trust in what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ, and we enter into a relationship with God. And so now we need to learn to recognize his voice and to trust him with what he's saying. It is about knowing God, then listening to what he says. This morning, it's obvious, isn't it? We all listen to something. Well, we all listen to someone. Sometimes we are thinking it's God's voice. That's what happened to Samuel, right? We can be all caught up in worship, and we love the end result of worship and the music and all that, but are we really listening and hearing from God? That happened to Samuel, caught up in the worship, but he wasn't really listening to what God was having to say. You may hear something, but it's probably not the voice of God if it runs contrary to what the scripture says and what he has recorded for us. We need to be careful when we are listening that we are listening to the right person. And Eli does an amazing job, doesn't he? In saying, okay, it's God. You need to stop. And instead of come to me, just say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. You know, sometimes it's really easy to tell that it's not God, isn't it? I remember before I was teaching school, I was a pastor in a church, and a guy came into my office, and he walked in with a Baltimore Orioles hat on, and he sat down across from me, and he looked at me, and he says, "I am God." Now, I knew he wasn't God, because there's no way God would be caught wearing a Baltimore Orioles hat. That was the first giveaway, right? Everyone knows that God wears Ohio State gear, right? But that happens in our life. There are voices that come in and they just say, this is what you should be doing. This is what you should be thinking. This is how you should be behaving. This is how you should be directing. And that voice is not the voice of God. Sometimes it's obvious, but we don't want that to be obvious. Instead, we like what's being said, and so we hold to that. In my present life, I'm a school teacher. And I teach Western civilization to freshmen. And one of the units of study that we do is we do Greece. And whenever you do the study of Greece, you do mythology. And of course, you also do references to the Iliad and the Odyssey, Homer's great epics, right? There's the story of Homer and Ulysses, right? Homer tells the story of Ulysses and the Odyssey. And in that story, Ulysses is going from Troy back home. And he wants to get back home, and in order to get back home, he has to avoid certain things. And someone says, you need to avoid the island of the sirens. It is an island of sirens where these birds sing beautifully. And the island is beautiful with plush green grass and beautiful waterfalls. But if you are drawn in by that siren sound, you will be shipwrecked on the waters and the waves and the rocks that are in front of that island. Well, Ulysses was so curious that he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he took beeswax and stuffed it into the ears of his sailors. And then he himself, he had strapped to the mast of the ship. And as they sailed past the siren island, he was straining to get loose because of that beautiful sound. Oh, Ulysses, you're so wonderful. You're so great. You're so marvelous. Come be with us. And in his bewitched state, he looked at the island and he saw these beautiful women singing and alluring to him. But the sailors, whose ears could not hear that siren sound, all they saw were these ugly, craggly birds that were looking to devour them. And soon Ulysses sailed past and the spell was broken. This morning, what is the siren sound that is drawing you away from what God wants? What is the sound that is being spoken to you, that is pulling you towards shipwreck? You see, you can always be sure that the Word of God is never about shipwreck. The Word of God is all about change, about making you who He wants you to be, conforming you and polishing you into the image of His dear Son. This morning, we want to listen to God, and in order to listen to God, we need to recognize that He is speaking. God has something to say. We are listening this morning for the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible who is the Creator, who is holy, loving, faithful, righteous, the God who has His book filled with words that will illuminate my mind, that will sanctify my heart, which will convert my soul, which will regenerate my mind and kindle my faith, the words that will comfort my heart and guide me and strengthen me. Those are the words that I'm listening for this morning from the Word of God. Sometimes it's about selective hearing, isn't it? We love those verses. You know, I'll make your way prosper. I love that. That's awesome. But then what about where he says, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations? No, I don't want that part. Get me back to the prospering part. Or we love the verses about seeking justice, correcting oppression, bringing justice to the fatherless, pleading the widow's cause. Oh, yes, I love social justice. I love that. But then God says, be holy as I'm holy. And it's like, that's really restrictive. I really don't like that. So we find ourselves being selective in our hearing. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning, who allows you to have a relationship with God that allows you to listen and hear what He's saying to you this morning? How do we listen to God? We recognize that He is speaking. The second way we listen to God is remember who you are. Remember who you are. Look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the Lord came and stood, calling at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Remember who you are. You are a servant. You are a servant. The servant, the word that is used here, is the word literally slave. It is the idea of a master and a servant. It is the idea, if there were a king, the king would use this word servant to describe all of those that serve him and that are part of his kingdom, whether they be in his court or whether they be in the community. Whatever it is, they are servants. It's a phrase that's often used when we talk about prayer. We talk about, well, God, we are your servant. Please, master, do something for us. But please understand, this is not a title. Samuel is not saying my title is servant. Instead, he is saying my position is servant. There's a difference there. The title is given to someone. The position is assumed. And so what he's doing is he is assuming that he needs to bow before God and say, speak to me. I need to hear what you're saying because I am finite and you are infinite. Position. I've told you this before. I have two sons, and both of them played some soccer. And I don't know if you remember the early days of soccer. My son was about 7, and we were playing soccer, and it is a positionless game for little kids, right? Because what do they all do? Chase the ball, wherever the ball is, right? So however many kids are on the field, that's where they're going, in a pack, right? They don't understand position. The more mature they get, the more they understand position. This morning, the more mature you are, the more you understand your position. You are a servant. And you don't look on that and go, oh man, that doesn't sound right. Instead, it sounds wonderful. Because what we are able to do then is submit to God, who is able to accomplish exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. He is talking about a position. Sometimes what happens is we don't want that position. Instead, we want to be a victim. My circumstances are such that I just, that's how I'm going to be. And so we relish in the role of victim. Or we relish in the role of, I'm way too good and way too smart to be someone's servant. The Apostle Paul perfects this, doesn't he? The Apostle Paul comes to grips with a full understanding of who he is and what his position is. He is able to explain in each of his epistles something about service. Three of his epistles, he starts by saying, Paul, a servant of God, literally a slave of God. So Paul understood his position as a servant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this. He said, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. We must come before God as obedient, humble servants. So if you want to hear what God is having to say, then you understand the position of service. Remember the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He is talking about this thorn in the flesh, something that he just can't get rid of. And notice what he says here. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. God brought something into his life to help him to understand that his knee needed to be bent in a position of service to God. This morning, do you remember you are a servant? You're wondering, why am I not hearing from God? Perhaps because you aren't recognizing that it's God's voice, and perhaps it's that you have not remembered that you are a servant. A servant. Three ways to listen to God. The third way is found in verses 11 through 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. The third way is realize what is expected. Obedience. Obedience. Realize what is expected. If you're going to listen to God, here's the realization. Obedience. Notice what happens in verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Verse 15, Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Speak. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. If you have the NIV, it says, is listening. I think hears is better because hears gives this idea of I'm hearing to obey. I'm hearing and I'm going to do this. I hear this. And so even after the message was delivered and Samuel was frightened by it, I think Samuel was still going to do it. It's very interesting, the word as well. It's the same word that's part of Samuel's name. Samuel, his name literally means God hears, right? And so what he's saying now is he's saying, God, I hear you. And I'm about to do what it is you want me to do. And what he does is he delivers this unspeakable judgment upon his mentor, upon the leader of Israel spiritually, and tells him, your sons, because of what they have done, there is this punishment about to come upon you. That's a tough obedience, isn't it? That's a tough obedience. Samuel had to bring the news to Eli, and he brought it. He delivered it just as God says. You see, part of a willing and submissive spirit, a part of a servant's heart is to obey. But remember, that might be why we're not even listening to God, because he's going to expect us to obey. So I don't even want to hear what God has to say. I'll just go about doing my own thing, because I really don't want to do what God wants me to do. I don't always understand the why. So why would I do what God wants me to do? I don't have complete control or see the final results. So why do I want to do what God wants me to do? Even if we don't like it, we're to do it, aren't we? We're to follow God, to listen to him. We are to hear his voice and allow it to fill our hearts. We are to understand that he is our God. We are his servant. We are there to do what he asks us to do. Too often, there's an insistence in our heart, isn't there? To have control and do what we want to do. And so we shut down what God is saying. But Samuel, amidst this difficulty, says, I am going to do what you ask me to do, dear Lord. I spoke here the first time in March. And after the service, a good brother came up to me and he told me that on the pulpit in the auditorium, that I think it's called Chapel Hall, that there was a sign that said this, Sir, we would see Jesus. So here we are. And some of you are thinking, I know exactly where we're going. I know exactly where we're going to see Jesus in this. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. And when we get to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to see this in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's what Jesus did. He is our model above even Samuel, and he was obedient to the point of death. When you listen to God, do you realize what is expected? Obedience. Here is Jesus. Jesus was obedient to the point of death, and God says to you, love one another. And you're like, I don't know if I can handle that. That's a big deal. Jesus died in his obedience. God says to bear one another's burdens. He's not asking you to die this morning. He's already done that for you through his son, Jesus Christ. He is not asking you to do more than to forgive one another, to be kind to one another. These are the words of God that are spoken. Being obedient. Sometimes I wish that we could kind of get into the mind of the words of Scripture a little differently. Like, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's the story about Samuel, grown man now, confronting Saul. Remember, Saul was told to go to the Amalekites and destroy everything. Even the king, Agag, wipe it all out. But what did Saul do? He preserved it. He kept it. and he was lying to Samuel and saying, listen, we kept it, and just a few of the things. And Samuel said, I can hardly hear you because of the bleating of the oxen and the sheep and the goats and all that. They're making so much noise. And then Saul tried to make it all right by saying, listen, I did this so that we could have this magnificent sacrifice to God. And then Samuel delivers this message. Do you see what he says in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15? Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience. This morning, God is saying that we need to realize that when He speaks, as His servant, we are obedient to Him. John Samus was born in 1846 in Brooklyn, New York. He died in 1919 in Los Angeles, California. He began his adult life as a businessman in Logansport, Indiana. But through his work with the YMCA, he felt a call to ministry. And so he went to seminary and became a Presbyterian minister. He spent his later life teaching at Biola Institute of Los Angeles. You may know it as Biola College. One night at a Dwight L. Moody evangelistic meeting in Brockton, Massachusetts, a young man stood up to testify about his confidence of his salvation. He said, I'm not quite sure, meaning that I wasn't really certain that God would save him from his sins. And then he continued, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. His point was that he planned to trust God for his salvation and do what he could to obey God's will. I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. In the audience that night was a song leader. His name was Daniel Towner. He was so impressed by the young man's testimony and words that he penned a letter to Samus and said, you got to read this. And in that letter, he says, I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. Samus quickly transformed those words into a hymn, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Soon out of that, he had five stanzas to go with that chorus. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. This morning, realize what is expected. Obedience. That's what God expects from us if we listen to his voice. There's a sense, isn't there? That when we do obey what God shows us, that we'll find the peace and satisfaction that the world can't give us. David found it. In Psalm chapter 32, verses 8 and 9, David says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. He says here, God is our instructor and our teacher. He is the one that leads us on our path. From his vantage point, God sees all. We are obedient to the will of God, the ways of God, and the word of God because God sees it all. And please notice what David says. God does not want to harness you with a bit or a bridle. Instead, he wants to remind you of his wonderful, marvelous power that is able to save you and keep you, but is also able to direct you and give you what you need in this life here and now. There are ways to listen to God. Recognize that He is speaking. Remember that you are His servant. And realize that obedience is expected. Some of you are baseball guys, and you'll get this better than others. But it was one of those days where everything was working. You've heard of a five-tool player, right? Speed, arm, fielding, average, power. That's a five-tool player. It was 1994, and I went to the park. And when I was at the park, there were these three guys watching me play baseball that day. They were so impressed by what I was doing. that they begin to make these kind of comparisons. They begin to say, you're pitching like Nolan Ryan. Do any of you remember Nolan Ryan? Long time ago. But this happened in 1994. There was another guy, and he was saying, listen, you're hitting like Barry Bonds. It's incredible to watch. Just relishing the moment. Another of the guys said, you're fielding like Ken Griffey Jr. And then as I continued to play, one of them even referenced Ricky Henderson for my speed. What a great feeling. All of these marvelous accolades. Hopefully, potentially, I could play Major League Baseball and make millions and provide for my family for the rest of their lives if I just listen to what these three guys are saying. So we got in the car, and the three guys continued to talk. And the three guys were my nephew, JJ, Neil, and my son, Josh. JJ and Neil were 9. Josh was 7. And they thought I was awesome. You say, that's foolish that you even thought about that. I know it is. But it's even more foolish if we refuse to listen to the God who has created the world, who has provided his word to love us into the submission that brings glory and honor to him. So this morning, are you listening to God? Let's pray. Father, this morning we are grateful for the gift of your word. The Bible is a marvelous filter through which we are able to see what it is you want us to do. We are able to read and understand and to compare. We are able to recognize, is this truly your voice? Or is it the false voice? And Lord, it is in your word that we are able to remind ourselves that you are infinite and we are not. And we need to be submitted to you, obedient to do what it is that you want from us. Lord, this morning, encourage us, prompt us to ask, what do you want, Lord? What do you want? In Jesus' name, amen.